Hello. All right. That was pretty pathetic. Let's try it again. Good morning, Motion Church. Much better. Man, I am absolutely in love with this church and these people are awesome. It's so fun to come to church. It's so exciting. Have you ever gone to church just because you kind of had to go to church, right? Maybe when you were a kid, your parents drug you to church. I anticipate everything every Sunday. I'm giddy. Like, I was running around slapping dudes on the butt this morning. I'm just excited to be here. It's like, good game. Way to go. Make a play, kid. So anyway, I really am. I love this church. I'm so excited. And I just want to come alongside what Shelly said. Shelly is a firecracker. I don't know if you, have you ever met those people that are like, you know, maybe they're not big in stature, but they're big in heart, right? They're big in fight. That's Shelly. Shelly is a firecracker. And so I believe, man, whatever you're going through, you're in the right place. And I do believe that God, man, he is still in the business of doing stuff for his people. He still loves us like a father loves his kids. And if you're a father or you're a parent, you get this. It's like I want more for my kids than I ever had when I was growing up, right? You always want better for your kids than you ever had for yourself. And God is this perfect father, and he wants what's best for us, and he wants good things for us. And so whatever you're going through and whatever it is that you need, man, believe that God is good and that he's in control and that he is sovereign. You know what's really cool? We're going to talk about today how love is encouraging. And it's really interesting. If you go back, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit, where it talks about the Holy Spirit as our comforter, I'm going to screw the word up. It's something to the effect of parakaleo, something like that. And what it means is that the Holy Spirit, not only is he not behind you, not only is he not in front of you, but he's right beside you. And if I'm going into a battle, or if I need somebody to talk to, I don't want somebody that's got my back. I don't want somebody that's out in front of me. I want somebody that's with me. And that's how the Holy Spirit is. He's with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever your situation is, that maybe you need comfort, or maybe you need a miracle, or maybe you need something to happen that you can't make happen, he's with you. He's by your side. And so, Shelly, I just reiterated everything Shelly just said. Amen. Go home. Right? All right, so this week, we're wrapping up our love series, which is kind of disappointing because I've really enjoyed this series. But we've talked about, if you missed any of it, the L was love is loyal. The O is love is optimistic. The V is love is vulnerable. That's really easy to talk about. And then this week, we're going to talk about how love is encouraging. And this seems pretty obvious, right? That if you love somebody, you want to encourage them. But for whatever reason, it's obviously not so obvious for some people. And so over the last couple of months, we've talked about, there have been themes that we've talked about and things that come up more often than not. And honor and optimism are some of the things that we've talked about. And this kind of is the outward expression of the internal condition. Like if you have honor and you're optimistic internally, then encouragement is what happens externally, right? Because that's kind of when you put skin on it. That's when you actually, the rubber meets the road, so to speak. It's look, I don't care how much value you place on somebody internally if it never results in anything externally, right? If you think that you love somebody all of the time, but you don't do anything to show them that you love them, do you really love them? And so this is where it gets real. This is where the struggle gets real, right? And so you have to do something externally to actually prove that you love people. And encouragement is one of the fruits of that. It's one of the ways that we can show people that we actually honor them, that we're optimistic about the relationship. And like I said, it seems like a no-brainer that people would want to be in relationships, dating relationships, marriages, and friendships that are encouraging, right? I don't want to be in any relationship where I dread meeting or seeing the person that I'm in a relationship with. Shelly and I were having this conversation the other day, and Shelly is the most encouraging person on the face of the earth. Like, and that is not, I don't think that's an exaggeration, because love doesn't exaggerate. That's the real E, right? And so she's one of the most encouraging people on the face of the earth. And we were talking about somebody that was, Shelly is, she's also has a salon. So she's basically a full-time counselor. If you know anything, like, people will tell their hairstylist everything, sometimes too much of everything, right? And so they were talking about their relationship, and there was just like bickering, and it was bitter, and they were so angry with each other. And I'm like, I would hate to know that I'm coming home to see somebody that's not going to encourage me or not make me feel better about what it is that I'm going through every single day. And so our goal is to be encouraging. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at some ways that we can do this. And we're going to talk about how it's important for us to be proactive rather than reactive. Because you know what? This is what we do. This is so immature. But this is what we do. Well, I'm not going to be encouraging to them because they're not encouraging to me. What are you, three? Seriously, I mean, like, think about, no, you know what that is? That's a little more mature than three. That's junior high. No, you hang up first. No, you hang up first, right? Like, our responsibility as followers of Jesus isn't predicated on the actions of other people. It's predicated on the truth of God's word that we are called to be encouraging. It says to encourage one another. That's our responsibility, and it doesn't really matter what they do. It's on you, homie, right? It's like we talked, and just think about kind of taking a step back and looking at this kind of from 30,000 feet, if you're in a plane, right? If you look at it, just remembering that Jesus, this is what he did for you. Like, if everything that Jesus did was based on your actions, you'd be in trouble. And that's not the way it works. He did what he had to do, therefore we should do what we're called to do and what he's asked us to do, and it's to encourage one another. So that's the first kind of sub-point to the point. It's a title, but it's also a point, which is convenient. You've ever seen bands that have self-titled albums? I'm like, what, are you not clever enough to come? And then I did the same thing. And so the first point is the message. It's the title. It's that love is encouraging. And I just want to make sure that we have a really firm understanding of what encourage means and encouragement is. And to find this, you've got to go back to our source here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And it's amazing. Like, this is the fourth week in a row that we've read this. And I still read it, and I'm like, oh, I got so much work to do. I know you don't. But I do. Love is patient. Right? All the parents in the room said, oh, Lord. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, right? And man, I don't know that I'm ever going to make it, to be honest with you, because there is so much to that. You know what I think? I think there is enough power in that short little passage to change the world. Like, I am convinced that if that was the standard that we pursued in our lives, it would change our world for sure. And probably that would carry on beyond just the small sphere that we have. It would carry on to the world that we live in. I'm just convinced that if we followed this to the law, to the letter of the law, to the intent of the law, that it would change the world. And I know this is not an easy thing, but this is what we do. We're in a constant battle. There's a constant tension between the way that things are and the way that things are presented to us and the standard of society. And then there's this standard that we feel this calling from God to do. And this one is so selfish, and it's so self-seeking, and it's all about what you can get out of a relationship. And then on the other side of it, you've got what it is that God wants you to do. And this one's really easy. This one's really hard. I was thinking about it this morning. How easy, this is kind of a strange statement, but follow me here. I think it would be easy to go through your life, and in the case of a male, or, you know, if you're a female, just flip-flop the roles here, right? To go through your life and have multiple relationships and just kind of just bounce from one relationship to the next until it gets old, and then you just, you know, dump them and go to the next one, or you get dumped and go to the next one. Like, I think that would be kind of easy. You know what's hard? Keeping the same woman interested for 40 years, right? And I think that's hard work, and I think you've got to put in the work to make that happen. But most people, a lot of people, they're not interested in work. They think it's all about what they can get out of a relationship, and when they're not getting anything out of the relationship, they move on. That's crap. Yeah. Don't get me started. I just did. Y'all got me started. All right, so before we get too far into this, I want to make sure that we understand what encourage means, because love is encouraging, right? Encourage, by definition, is to give support, confidence, or hope to. To give support, confidence, or hope to. And I've thought about this, and have you ever been around somebody, and a lot of times it's kind of a paternal or maternal situation, where you get around somebody and you feel like you can do anything, right? Like, they embolden you to the point where you feel like you could just absolutely do anything. And I think that's kind of what we're called to do. Like, we're supposed to be at a point in our lives that we can encourage other people to, like, hey, you got this. I'm not only am I behind you and I got your back, but I'm with you. I'm by your side. Like we talked about, the word encourage is it's a very similar word to one of the terms that describes the Holy Spirit, and it means to come alongside. It's like I'm with you. Not only because this is what we do at Christianity. We encourage at arm's length, right? I'm praying for you. No, you're not. Stop. Just stop, right? Unless you really are. If you really are, awesome. But that's a cop-out in Christianity because you don't want to have a real conversation. Oh my goodness, right? That just happened. That's usually what it is. If we're just I'm praying for you. No, you're not. Like, now you're lying about it. Like, you're in trouble, bro. But not only are we going to not give fake I'm praying for you cop-outs, we're going to come alongside you. And I'm going to help you get through whatever it is that you're getting through, because life is not easy. Life is messy. And we got to get up in the mess, right? We can't be afraid to get our hands dirty. We can't be afraid to get involved with people. We can't be so selfish that we only want to do what's easy. Because easy is lame. Let me tell you something. Let me just shoot straight with you for a minute. Man, y'all got me fired up this morning. Somebody put some extra caffeine in the coffee, right? If you only are interested in what's easy, you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to be really disappointed. You're going to be extremely the dash between your birth year and your death year is going to be lame. It's going to be meaningless and it's going to be pointless. But if you're willing to put in the hard work, and if you're willing to roll up your sleeves, and you're willing to get dirty, and you're willing to get involved in the lives of the people that God has put around you, your life has value. It has purpose. It has meaning. You're going to look back when you're laying on your deathbed and you're going to be able to say, like Paul, I fought the good fight. I ran the race. My life had meaning because it wasn't just about me. I invested it in the lives of other people. I don't even know where I don't know where all that stuff's coming from. Get me fired up. And so if you look at just the word, how many grammar Nazis do we have in here? People like Grammy. Grammar. You know how you encourage a grammar Nazi, right? There, with all three variations of the word there and how you spell it. And you don't get it unless you're a grammar Nazi. And so if you look at the word, it's kind of telling in the way that it's kind of put up. The prefix is en, which means to make possible. And courage is courage, right? So you make courage possible when you encourage people. You give them confidence. You give them courage. You give them hope. You come alongside them, and you make them feel like, hey, whatever it is that you're going through, like if this mountain seems like you can't take it alone, let's take it together, right? Because you know, life is so much easier when we do it together. Like if I know that I've got to do something that's really difficult, and somebody comes alongside me that's going to help me do it, it makes it a lot more manageable, right? And that's just an analogy for life. That's the way it is. So the first phrase that we're going to look at from 1 Corinthians 13 with respect to love being encouraging is that love does not boast. Love does not boast. Right? And so that's the first phrase. And essentially, when you kind of boil it down to the bare essentials of what it means, it's just that love is not braggadocious. Love is not so focused on yourself that you can't take time to focus on other people. Right? And this is it's kind of interesting. How in the world could you ever be encouraging to somebody else if all you ever do is talk about yourself? Right? Like, you won't even know what's going on in their life. You won't have any idea what their struggles are, what their situation is. If all you ever do is talk about yourself, if all you ever do is vent about your problems and the things that you're struggling with, and can you believe what happened to me the other day? And if we're just honest, was it really that big of a deal? Are you just so narcissistic that you got to project all of your problems onto somebody else? Not this church, other people, right? Right? None of that ever happens at Motion. Never, 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 never. So to encourage other people, we have to take the attention off of ourselves and our problems sometimes. And that's not to say that you're not going to address it and you're not going to deal with it, but stop making mountains out of molehills and molehills out of mountains, right? Put your focus, and this is the cool thing about it. This is what's so amazing. When you start focusing on other people and their problems, your problems seem a lot less significant. When you step back, and maybe you've got some legitimate things that you've got to work through or circumstances that are adversarial, but if you just kind of step back and you look at the rest of the world, you know, again, we talked about this last week, 7 billion people in the world, many of which don't have food to eat, water to drink, or a house to live in. Are your problems that big? I don't know. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that we have two ears and one mouth? And so when it comes to love not being boasting and love not being braggadocious and all about you, God gave us two ears to listen and only one mouth to speak. So maybe if we thought, just think percentages and proportionately here. So maybe you listen 66% of the time and you talk 33% of the time. Ladies. Hey! Guys are just as bad. Guys are just as bad. I know a lot of guys that talk more than girls. So really, just to make this possible, for love not to be braggadocious, for love to not boast, it really just takes humility, which I say that like that's an easy thing, right? And the perfect phrase for this, the way that I can think that we can best understand this, is that humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less often, right? It's proportion. It's time. Like, yeah, absolutely. If you've got stuff going on in your life, work on it. Pray about it. Get counsel from other people. But don't be so focused on you all of the time that you can never focus on anybody else. So that's the first phrase, is love does not boast. The second one is this. Love does not dishonor others. Love does not dishonor others. And so really what we're going to do is we're going to look at kind of the other side of the equation. If love does not dishonor others, then love does honor others, right? And so that's, and I think there's a direct correlation between honor and encouragement. Honor is the internal, encouragement is the external. It's kind of the fruition of honor in our hearts. Therefore, we encourage other people. And like we've talked about this a little bit in passing, but we're going to drill down just a little bit deeper today. An expression of honor is encouragement. Because you care about someone and you place value on them, you'll take the time to support them and instill courage and confidence in them. Can you give me a Kleenex or something? Do you want to make this incredibly awkward or just a little bit? Just a little bit. All right. Shelly gets mad at me when I drink water during the message. She's like, that's so unnatural. I'm like, I'm dying. She thinks I'm supposed to be bionic and not have to drink for 40 minutes and talk the entire time. So I tried and I passed out. Didn't work. So like I said, we've talked about this in passing, but it's just, if we honor somebody, that we're going to take time to encourage them and instill confidence in them. And you can add value to somebody's life with the words that you speak, right? This, man, it seems so obvious. And if you're a parent, or if you're a child, you've ever had a parent, you understand this, right? Which I guess would be all of us. Think about that. If you've ever been in, you know, one of those situations, then you'll understand, hey, if you had parents that encouraged you, that's not that funny. I mean, it was good. She's out of control. If you've ever had parents that encouraged you, you get it. Like, you understand the power of that environment. But if you've had parents that just tore you down and told you you'd never do anything, you would never be anything, then you understand that, like, the words that we speak over our children, it frames their life. It frames their thoughts. It frames their perspective on God. Because that's what authority looks like to them. And if God is an authority and you're a terrible parent, well, God must be terrible too, right? No pressure. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says this. You've heard this, I'm sure, at some point. It says that the tongue has the power of life and death. You can either build up or you can tear down. And this is not just parental relationships, marriages. Like, this is every relationship that we have. We have the opportunity to build them up or tear them down. And I thought about a hammer, right? This is kind of a small hammer. You wouldn't do a whole lot with this, but you'd be surprised, right? And I was thinking about a hammer. Think about the destructive force that a hammer could be, right? Like, if you just went to somebody's kneecaps, like, that's brutal, but just follow me here. Sorry, that's the male testosterone problem. But, like, you could do a lot of damage with a hammer, an incredible amount of damage. But you can also build some beautiful houses with a hammer, right? You can build and be constructive and build something up that's beautiful, or you can tear something down. And it's really just what you choose to do with the hammer or your mouth, right? Your mouth is like a hammer. You can build up or you can tear somebody down. Like, you can destroy and be destructive. You can criticize nonstop. You can find fault and flaws in people. Or you can be mature and godly and find the potential in people, and you can speak to that, and you can focus on what it is. Maybe you see people like God sees people, right? Like, instead of being so human, like, oh, that's just my human tendency. Well, maybe you need to stop being so human, right? As impossible as that may be. Maybe focus more on the spiritual than the natural and the flesh. See the good in people. Focus on that. Talk to that. Speak to that with your kids. Like, I think with not only what we say, but how we say it, we are framing who they are, we either instill courage or we destroy courage. We destroy confidence or we instill in confidence. So I was thinking about this. Have you guys, has anybody ever been to a youth camp? Church youth camp, right? So two things that are guaranteed to happen at a church youth camp. One, everybody's going to be swapping phone numbers, girls and guys, and it's just, you know, it's like Christian online dating before Christian online dating was possible. Because then, you know, originally you corresponded by snail mail. I don't know if you guys know what that is, where you put a stamp and you write a letter with a pen. It's impressive. And so that's one thing that's guaranteed to happen at youth camp. The other thing is that you're going to have, in the services, you're going to have kids flood the altar and snot all over the place. They just cry, and snot is coming all out of their nose, and it's just a fantastic evening for a germaphobe. Right? And I'll never forget, kind of thinking about the power of our words. There was a kid, he was probably 16 years old. He came up to the front. I was praying with him, and I was like, man, what's going on? And so for the next 20, 30 minutes, he was telling me about how he just can't believe that God would love him, and he can't imagine that his life will ever amount to anything. And so we kind of drilled down for a minute and found out what the situation was. And for all of his life, his parents told him, his mom specifically told him, you'll never be anything. You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything. And I was just furious. Like, have you ever been in a city? I wanted to, where's your mama live? Right? Like, you destroyed this kid with your freaking mouth. Yeah. Your hammer destroyed him. Yeah. And I was just so angry. And I was thinking, just think about this for us. Like, the power that we have with our words. Yeah. You are destroying people, or you're building them up, you're encouraging them, you're changing their life with the words that you choose to speak to them. You don't dishonor them with your words. And this is where it gets fun, right? This is where it gets easy. It doesn't matter what they said to you, right? It doesn't matter. That's childish. That's not us. That's not for us. Our responsibility is to honor in spite of. Honor doesn't depend, and it's not predicated on them. It's predicated on you. And if you have honor, you give honor. Don't get me started. Man, So that's the second one, is that love does not dishonor others. And man, I think that is just directly correlated to our mouth. And I was thinking about, there are essentially two things that we do with our mouth. We either make people feel invisible, or you make them feel invincible. Especially spouses. This is specific. Let me talk to the married folk for a second, or if you're about to get married. You can make them feel invisible. You can talk down. You can belittle. You can criticize all the imperfections that they've got because they've got them. Or you can make them feel invincible. Like, man, there is so much power in security. And knowing that you're going to be with them regardless of what storm may come, you can make them feel invisible, or you can make them feel invincible. And I think it's obvious what the choice should be. The last phrase that we're going to look at is this. Love is not easily angered. Oh, Lord. Right? Let me be Captain Obvious here for a minute. This should be obvious. If it's not, Cinderella, I'm going to burst your bubble. Every relationship is going to have conflict. And the problem with that is kind of obvious. If you think that it doesn't have conflict or shouldn't have conflict, the second that it has conflict, you're out. Right? So that's the fairy tale notion. That's, we watch Hollywood. This is funny. We get our ideas of what love should be from people in Hollywood who they themselves can't be in a relationship for over 6 months. What do we know, right? So we just have to learn that even though every relationship is going to have conflict, it will have conflict, we have to learn how to navigate through the conflict, keeping our emotions in check. Because if you allow your emotions, it's like the dog and the tail analogy, right? Like, you're the dog, your emotions are the tail. Don't let the tail wag the dog, let the dog wag the tail. I mean, just this, I always think, like, word picture, how funny that would be if you have a dog that's literally being wagged by its tail, like, wah, 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 right? Sorry, I'm a visual person. It's twisted. So we have to learn how to fight. You have to learn, because there's going to be fights, and it does not, like, physical or any of that. It's like, but you're going to have conflict. And so you have to learn how to do conflict right. You have to learn how to make a difference, not just a point. That should have landed a little heavier, right? You have to learn how to make a difference, not just a point. Because when we get into conflict, we're trying to prove a point. But what if the end goal was not to prove your point, but to make a difference? What if the end goal wasn't to fight against that person, but with that person? What if the end goal wasn't to fight in your relationship, but for your relationship? Man, I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Man, this is good stuff, and you're all like, come on now. Get me fired up. Encouragement is an environment to thrive. Encouragement is an environment to thrive. You create an environment where people can thrive, where they can blossom. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but they can become the fullest version who God created them to be if you have this environment of encouragement. When you allow, on the flip side, when you allow your emotions to dictate the discussion, it never ends well. That's when you start talking about things that aren't even related to the thing that you've been talking about, right? You start bringing up old stuff, even though love keeps no record of wrong. What? Right, what do we know? So things will be said that aren't even relevant to the current discussion, but that's because you're allowing emotions. You're trying to prove a point, not make a difference. And love, conversely to all of that, love is not easily angered. And this is what happens, I think, and this is kind of embarrassing for us in Christianity, is a lot of people excuse away their anger, or in some ways even seem braggadocious about their anger. Oh, I've got a short fuse. I'm going to just come at you for a minute, right? That may be who you were, but that's not who you're called to be. That's not the path that you're on. That's not the direction that you're going. Don't excuse away stuff because of your anger or because of, you know, character that you used to have. Because if that's the case, let's just throw the Bible out the window, because everything Jesus said is irrelevant. Everything that was written, I mean, think about, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. That's who you were. It's not who you are. And so don't excuse away or especially brag about having a short fuse or being angry. That's just a cop-out. That means you're not willing to put in the work to control your emotions, and then whatever happens because of that happens. That's weak. That's extremely weak. Keep your emotions in check. Love is not easily angered. Love doesn't fly off the handle and say whatever it wants to say in the name of anger, right? Love doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a point. Yes, it does, right? Love doesn't make a point. It makes a difference. Anger makes the point. Anger's like, I'm going to be right at whatever the cost and whatever expense and whatever thing I have to say to cut you or demoralize you, that's what I'm going to say. That's what anger does, but love doesn't do that. Love encourages. Love realizes the end goal is not to be, it's not to be victorious in a fight or a battle. It's to win the war, and the war is the success of the relationship. Amen? This morning, I just want to close and just, man, challenge us let's never, ever, ever come to a church on a Sunday morning. Come to this church on Sunday morning. You better come to church on Sunday morning, right? Let's never come to church on Sunday morning and just and hear these things and not think about how it directly affects you and the way that you live your life. Man, if you need to be more encouraging, think about specific relationships. Think about friendships. Think about your spouse. Think about your children. How is it that you can be more encouraging to them on a regular basis, on a daily basis? And man, I know this is not easy, because I just keep thinking about my kids. And if you got kids, you want to get the hammer sometimes. And it's not for good, right? Not literally. That seems so violent. And I'm not a violent person. But I think we need to focus intentionally and specifically on how we can build up and encourage people. When we leave this place, let's not just be hearers of God's word. Let's be doers of God's word. Let's go build something beautiful with our mouths. Let's honor each other. Let's build each other up. Let's not allow our anger to dictate and kind of determine the course that we go with our lives. Let's choose not to be angry, but to honor. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, you're so much better for us and to us than we could ever deserve. God, it's so incredible that in spite of us, in spite of our flaws, in spite of our failures, in spite of our sin, that you love us anyway. You gave us your Son to die on the cross for my sin, for the sin of every person in this room. God, that's how we know what love is. That you were willing to lay down your life for us. That you were willing to lay down your life for us. Now, God, I pray that as we leave this place, that we'll simply do the same thing. God, that we won't allow our selfishness to get in the way of that, that we won't allow our desire to make a point rather than a difference get in the way, that you won't allow our anger to get in the way of laying ourselves down, laying our lives down for other people. God, I pray that you would help us not to just be hearers of your word, not just to know these things internally, God, but let something, let it be translated into action so that the world will know we're your followers because of our love for each other. Jesus, we absolutely love you. Thank you so much for what you're doing in this church, in the lives of the people of this church. And I pray that you would increase that, increase our influence, do greater things in this community. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.